Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness or Wrap Up Podcast for episode 13. I am Brian Cohn here in the, as always, my co-host Al Asher. Ali, how are you?
It's been a week, Brian. It's been a week, but I am happy to be here ending my week. We got a weekend edition Friday night. Imagine doing anything better than this on a Friday night, Brian.
It's hard to imagine. Anything else could not be better than this. Can't be.
Well, let's make it a little bit better because I'm really excited. We've been having a few guests come through the podcast since, you know, scheduling's a little more flexible in quarantine, and we've been able to have some people join us. I'm super excited about the guests we have this week.
Yeah, so let's bring her in. We have Mophi joining us. Mophi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I agree that this, what better way to end or begin a Friday night? I don't know, for me, it's like my night is ending by 8 o'clock. But I'm really excited and I'm doing great.
We're super happy to have you here. Tell us, you know, your first time guest for us on the Challenger Hap Up. So we'd like to, you know, break all of our guests in with a question of what's your challenge history? How long have you been watching? What do you like about the show? Give us your sort of general challenge resume.
Okay. I don't have I don't have a long resume. I don't know if this is going to be embarrassing. I've been thinking about it like all day. But I started watching the challenge kind of in a roundabout way through the challenge Champs versus Pros or Champs versus Stars. I really just got drawn into like random MTV reality TV shows. So anything that kind of came up, I was like, okay, this is interesting, I'll watch it. And then after I watched that first, then I watched, I think, Dirty 30 in 2017. That was my first time watching it. So I've been watching it for a couple of years now. And I think what I quite like about it, honestly, is the fact that it's just a competition. No shade to, like, for example, Survivor. I watch Survivor and I like Survivor. But sometimes I feel like there's an altruistic thing about Survivor. And with the challenge, it's like, it's just these people that are coming on the show to, like, compete. And I like that piece about it. And in addition, it's just like the drama. Like, I'm here for all the like unnecessary drama that happens. I'm like, yes, I'm down for it.
Unnecessary drama. That is the perfect way to describe the challenge. Unnecessary drama.
I'm obsessed with the fact that, so I call Champs versus Stars Pros versus Joes because I've never watched a single episode of Pros versus Joes. And I love that you're like proving your proof of concept for that show, that like there are people who will come into the challenge through that, like through watching that. So no, I love this. Also, I feel like with the introduction of people from Survivor, from Big Brother, we've been pretty interested in getting sort of newer takes. Brian and I have both been watching the challenge for a long time. Not that you would know it from our terrible memories about the show, but I'm excited to have your perspective from someone who's been watching in the last 3 years, which, because the challenge is on, you know, 4/5 of the year, right? It's like, you know, it's certainly a long time to have been watching a show, but I'm curious to get your takes on sort of some of the historic storylines that we've dealt with this season with Jenna and Zach. Like, I just want to start there. Like, what was your sort of, you've seen Jenna and Zach, but like, what's your take on that? I was gonna say beef, I guess it's a relationship.
Yeah. I'm just always so stressed out for Jenna and just for the whole situation, and even having to just watch Zach on my TV. I'm like, this is unnecessary for like me as a viewer to be participating in. When I started watching, I was actually a huge fan of Jenna. I think that season she was just like this, in a way, kind of similar to how like Tori, I would say, was portrayed when she started playing. Like, Jenna was like this beast, and I was so like into her, like her character. And then over the seasons, it just seemed like it kind of fell in a way, and it became about like this relationship with Zach, and I find that to be quite disappointing. And seeing that this season, you know, and kind of seeing her friends be like, you know, like you're here, like you're a competitor, and seeing that competitive side of her, I liked. But every other thing, I'm just like, oh my gosh, he's not even on the show, like why do we have to hear from him?
I think that's universal, regardless of how long you've been watching the show, is just a distaste for Zach at this point. I want to also.
Why are we hearing Zach? Why are we hearing from Zach? Is another way just to describe Zach. There's no reason to ever hear from him again. So that's perfectly described.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for Challenge Mania to produce a mug that says "Why are we hearing from Zach?" I'll send that to you, also, Brian.
Perfect. I look forward to it.
As a Joes versus Pros stand, wow. Mofi, I want to ask. So you saw Wes and Bananas already enter into an elimination, right? They had an elimination on that show. Is that correct?
I think so. My gosh, I have terrible memory as well. So
okay, that's fine.
I say yes, but.
I just like that the challenge is participating.
That's what I do when Allie asks me a question. So it's perfect.
I just like that the challenge is erasing its own history in Champs versus Stars to say, like, oh, that's the first time. But all right, well, I'll move off of that. Nobody likes a history lesson or history quiz. I don't know the answer of any challenge history. But this season, generally, let's get into this season. How are you feeling at this point in the season? Like, where we've been, where we're going? With what is this, season 35? I don't even remember. I was gonna say season 35. Sure. I don't even know the season we're on.
Yep, 35.
Yeah, it's interesting for me. So let me tell you, I think as a new viewer, I like seeing like new folks because I don't think I have to rely too much on like, you know, the history and past relationships and things like that. So I'm all for like, you know, the new people. And one of the things that maybe I'm like, I might differ from folks that listen to this or even you guys. I'm not too much of a fan of like the OG. So like Wes, Bananas, everyone. I'm just like, okay, we get it. I'm here for like the new people. So for this season, I've enjoyed it. But one of the things I didn't really like, you know, and I got tired of was, you know, at the beginning, it felt like folks are playing like a scared game, like, or maybe it wasn't, and maybe it was strategic, but nobody wanted to go in. And it was mostly like Jay, especially with the guys. And now kind of seeing that play out, it's interesting because in a way, a lot of people have gotten their red skulls that are left, and there's only a few people left. But it feels like I'm almost like tired of this process of the red skull a little bit. Yeah, because there's so much drama around it, which is the intention, but I'm just like, okay.
Ryan, yeah, do you feel you personally that. Attacked?
No, but it's funny you say that. You know, you do feel a little bit tired of the Red Skulls because right before we went on, Allie and I were saying, like, it just feels like we're going through the same storyline every single week now for the past, like, month and a half. And it just feels like something needs to change. Either we need to just get to the final or they just need to do a total reshake of the whole format because it does feel like we're just going through the same cycle of, all right, someone's going to nominate themselves. Maybe one or two people are going to fight to be the house knob and we just get straight to the elimination. It's really just rinse, repeat the last like month and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the comment about the OGs is interesting because I think the OGs are shook. I think it's a generally hot take to say that you're not like living for them, but I think it's fair because it's like CT was on the season. Who even remembers that? Like what was CT doing here this season kind of thing? And, you know, I think we're seeing in the Wes and Bananas trying to sort of rebrand their dynamic is sort of like survival mode for them because the challenge has done such a good job at re-energizing its casting, bringing in the UK people, bringing in the Big Brother people, et cetera. So it's like, you know, we're relying on these big names, but Brian and I are going to watch regardless, right? Like right. if they don't invite Nani back on or if they don't invite Bananas, I mean, I'd be shocked, but I'd still be here. They've gotten a lot of new viewers who are not here for those people necessarily. So I do think we're seeing it in the way it's sort of playing out on screen and off that the OGs are shook. They should be.
Definitely.
Calling them out.
Yeah, you're kind of also you're like exhibit A for what like the top like thing for MTV marketing exec would push for. Like you were brought into the show for the Champ Stars. You love the fact that it's the new people. All the new initiatives that they've been trying to push is what's kind of brought you in. And I'm sure you're not alone is what's brought you in and kept you. And it's interesting about the new people and the relationships because that is kind of the biggest barrier to entry you always face with new people trying to join the challenge world is that because the people do come back so much, it's very overwhelming when you're joining a show with these people who have a decade of history. But it's a good point that you brought up. You know, since you're bringing in people who have only played one or two seasons, they're kind of fresh just like you are. So it does, it really does help reset the fan base a little bit when they're trying to join in late this late in the series.
Yeah, like I know we'll probably talk about this, but I'm a huge fan. Well, a huge fan is a reach, to be fair, but I'm really here for Swaley. I didn't really watch their Big Brother season, but I started following them on social media and I like them. So when I knew that they were on the challenge, I was like, heck yeah, I'm watching this season just for them, to be particularly honest. So I know them, that's definitely not a popular opinion in the bigger challenge fan base, but definitely that's one of my perspectives.
I want to ask you a question about that. I want to pose this to the group here because transitioning sort of more into this episode, it's a good segue. Last week, Brian and I struggled with sort of everybody saying like Swaggy and Bailey are alone. They isolated themselves in the house. And that sort of wasn't our perspective on what we had seen prior. Like, I didn't think we didn't see that edit. And now suddenly Wes is gone. Swaggy's gone. And that's the story we're getting. I wonder if coming in when you're new, we saw with like Tori and some other people came in on their new seasons, have to like ingratiate themselves with, you know, the big dogs, bananas, whatever, to not have the J arc of just getting thrown in every time. Here, Swaggy and Bailey come in with a relationship with each other and then also a relationship with Wes and a pretty deep bench of Big Brother strong competitors. Do you think, I'll start with Mofi, that hurt them in a way that like maybe they weren't connecting with people in the house because they didn't feel the pressure to game wise because they already had what they thought was numbers?
I'd say to an extent I can see that playing out because they had pretty, like, if you look at it, these could be pretty strong relationships because it was kind of spread out within the house. So they were confident in that. But I also think, and I don't know, this is just like assumption from the game, but I think when folks come in and they're not as comfortable, the others can feel it as well. And I wonder if that aura was also portrayed, that the others could see that they were not like, you know, they're new, they're rookies, and they're not struggling as much. So that could also have like painted like a sour taste, which is what I think was also presented in Casey, for example, today. That's not today, but whenever the episode was. Yeah. So definitely, I think that has an impact for sure.
Ryan, did you get any more insight this week on what story MTV wants us to have with what happened with Bailey and Swaggy this season?
A little bit. I mean, I think it, the more fascinating dynamic, obviously what we'll dive into, is the whole Casey and Bailey situation, which as someone who watched their Big Brother season, I didn't realize they had that level of connection. And to see that, this is, I guess, what they're really hoping for when they bring in these people from other shows, is that those deep-seated connections, other shows, that will then spill over into drama here. And this was like their dream come true with, you know, deep-seated Big Brother drama kind of playing out between them two. So that was the more, to me, well, like the super fascinating drama that this show doesn't really always have, because usually, you know, you're flashing back to earlier the season or a different season, but to have to flash back basically to a different show is very interesting to see play out.
All right, let's flash back to this show, this episode. That was a fun little romp around, though. I feel like we usually just get right into the episode. We broke down the big themes. Let's get into the nitty gritty, and we'll trip those wires as we go through here. So I want to talk about the new TYB. They didn't say that, but Hunter, Nelson, and Corey used to be Team Young Bucks. And now we see a little edit of Fessy stepping in seamlessly, and I might say preferably, for Hunter. Brian, do you think that this is the new trio?
Well, hopefully it doesn't end with Fessy getting $1 million ripped away from him in the final. So hopefully he has a better outcome there. But I think Fessy, whatever home Fessy finds himself in, I feel like that alliance will be very happy to have him, because if he wants to, he could be a force moving forward for the show, as he constantly has shown week in and week out.
Mofi, you watched, you didn't watch Fessy's Big Brother season. What do you think of Fessy, though, as a character on the show?
I think he's interesting, you know, like people were not sure of him at the beginning, and then he proved himself to be like this powerhouse, and he seems to be like holding that space. So I find him quite interesting. I found that bromance, like, I was like, this is kind of weird, but I'm also finding it like a little bit cute. It was questionable.
I think that's the perfect description. Weird, but a little bit cute. That's like full Team Young Bucks. I prefer Fessy in this spot to Hunter. Yeah, I mean, when Hunter first emerged on the scene, he we did think was going to be a dominant force as well. Didn't really pan out in the sense that he was injured. He was still a good competitor. But I think Fessy has a stronger upside in the challenge than Hunter, despite Hunter naming his child after you, Brian.
Right. And there were some questionable ways that Hunter kind of treated his female teammates and stuff. So right now, Fessy just kind of seems like kind of a you nicer guy to have a beer around. So I think we probably upgraded just, you know, as a society with Fessy over Hunter so far.
Yeah. You really can't call your shot like that with the challenge people, because like the next day an article's going to come out.
No, you never know. But as of June 26th in episode 13, I stand with Fessy. That could change very quickly, though.
Let's get to the top story of Nani and Casey, because we get Nani reflecting, like, you know, we don't really get Nani explaining, like, we're just friends. I respect her girlfriend, which is the story that Casey tells. We get Nani saying, on my soulmate checklist, Casey hits all the boxes. Brian, have we ever seen Nani pursue someone that actually has those qualities that she laid out besides Casey?
I think probably the closest would be Kahuta, right? I feel like Casey's kind of like the female Kahuta, and like a, you know, sweet, kind, generous person, good
take.
To be around. I think they're probably the most similar.
That's a good pull, honestly, because I thought the answer was a clear no. Because the exes of Nani's that comes to mind is obviously Adam, Bananas, the Chase from The Bachelor. So I was like, I'm glad that Nani has a soulmate list, but she's not really pursuing it correctly. Although Casey, I mean, if Casey were single, I'm shipping this couple, but it's a little squeaky that Casey seems dedicated to her girlfriend. And it's, I don't know, Mophie, if you're watching this, you're in a relationship. Is Casey in trouble?
Casey is definitely in trouble. Like, there's something going on there. Casey is putting out everything for Nani. Like, there's a dedication to Nani, and it's clear. So yes, she's coming home, and we're like, what's going on there? Yeah,
I did love the cut of Corey saying yes. The little takes one to no one moment of like, I know a player. Casey's a player.
I wrote that down in my notes. I was like, Corey gave her the player nod. That's when you know that like it's sealed, because if like Corey is an OG.
The number one player on the season, recognizing Casey there. Mm-hmm. Not great for Casey's relationship.
Yeah, that's tough for the Casey defense when you have Corey on your side.
I was worried here. We get Anissa tipping off Casey again. I was worried that was going to escalate. I think Anissa's picked a better spot to intervene. Not out at the bar. Not when Nani's hammered with cup of noodles.
Ten beers before that, she did intervene. Not 10 beers after. That's always the right spot.
I also, like you said, Brian, I also watched Big Brother. I'm not a feedster, but I did try to do some research. It does seem like the people who watch the feeds are split also. From what I gathered in my loose research, it was that when Swaggy left the house, did Swaggy leave? I don't know, whatever. So like according to people who watched, who posted in the comments, some people were like, Bailey's 100% right. And some people were like, Casey and her were really close. However, Casey was clearly like doing it as a game move. And so maybe Bailey didn't understand, which I mean, of course, like, that's kind of unfair, you know, like, of course, Bailey would think that that's something real. But I wanted more from Casey's perspective, because to me, I'm watching the episode, and please, guys, fill in the gaps for me if I'm missing something. But that's been known to happen. Casey says Nani's a better friend to her than Bailey. We don't get any real explanation of why that is. And then sort of Casey shifts to defense mode later in the episode and turns to like, I don't trust you. And like everything you say is bullshit, which didn't seem like, to me, Bailey and Casey had no issue. She was just picking Nani. And then as we get deeper into the episode, Casey has all of these grievances with Bailey. Like, did I miss that, or was that just Casey on the defense?
That's
what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I got as well. I it seemed like at the beginning it was more of a, like, she was picking Nani, and as the episode went, or as the confrontation kind of went, I think Casey was trying to justify and defend her reason, and all of these other pieces came up, and perhaps maybe there were underlining things that Casey maybe didn't like in their friendship to begin with, and this was the moment where she's like, yep, I found a better friend, so I'm not trying to do this anymore.
Yeah, we'll talk. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if, you know, a lot of the times when you think you have a good friend in this type of game, you don't want to show your cards too much. You want to keep your distance. And I wonder if they just kept too much of their own distance, that they each kind of just thought they, or at least for Casey's perspective, oh, like, all right, so Bailey just, you know, she's with Swaggy, she's with Wes, she kind of has her own thing going on, I gotta get my own thing going on myself. And maybe she just put too much distance in their own friendship, and it kind of just torpedoed it from there.
I'd like to go back. I will not do this, but I would like to go back and rewatch the season with an eye for this, because, like, again, I really don't understand the Swaggy Bailey distancing thing, because from my perspective, we kept seeing Bailey and Swaggy be in tribunals, be in conversations with Wes when Wes was making a power decisions. Like, we saw people say, like, oh, I don't want to put Swaggy in because Bailey will be mad. Like, So I just feel like I didn't get the narrative that they were excluding themselves. And now, I mean, clearly we've seen the result of it. So I would like to go back and see if that is, like, clearer on a second watch. But who has time for that? I mean, I have unlimited time, but I won't be doing it.
Yeah, and I guess it's because Wes has gone as well. Like, I think the major thing was that they were connected to Wes, but it was also on the down low, and whatever Wes's connections were supported that. But I think now that Wes is gone and Swaggy is gone, it kind of leaves Bailey on this, like, isolation, because she didn't, even if she was friends with these other people, she wasn't, like, they weren't her main allies, so she's exposed.
She's not married to them.
No, and that as well.
Brian, let's talk. Should we talk about the daily? Are we there?
Yeah, let's get to the daily. Blocked in. This is a classic real life in-person slide puzzle, basically. A lot of cars set up in kind of a garage type situation with one red card in the middle. You got to push all the cars out of the way to slide the magic car out the front door. Two teams of seven.
Did you guys ever play Rush Hour, like the game with the plastic cars that was like a setup like this and you had to get the red car out?
I know what it is. I never played
Rush
it.
On N64. Yeah, I haven't played that.
No.
I really liked this challenge. I've been down on the dailies, but this I thought was fun. I think it stunk for them that they didn't have an aerial view, but really? As a kid, I played a version of this game. So, I thought it was fun. What'd you think of the challenge, Mofi?
I thought it looked cool. I'm not into, like, puzzle type of things. Like, my brain can't really conceptualize a lot of things that's not like math type. So it looked interesting. For some reason, though, when I was watching it, I thought Team One was really going to, I don't know if I'm not supposed to talk about this now, but I thought Team One was going to lose just in the way, I guess, the editing went. But it was interesting to see that they still won even after they seemed to have, like, a communication issue.
Yeah, the edit definitely. I wonder if, you know, obviously they're doing a lot of recutting this last few episodes with cutting D out, and obviously D being on Team Two. Yeah. I wonder if she played, like, a much bigger role, and they just had to just chop that whole part out and just make it seem like Team Two just zoomed by doing the puzzle, because I totally agree, it seemed like Team One was taking forever and then they just yada yada, Team Two was done in 5 seconds. So I wonder if that those extra edits had to play a part as well.
I had the same feeling that you guys did. I thought Team One had no chance of winning. I do want to call out from the edit, I like that they finally told us that they're in a holding zone and they don't get to watch. I feel like this season, Brian, we've talked a lot about, like, are they watching? Are they not watching? Like, I like that we finally got an edit of Nelson being like, it would be an advantage, so we're being secluded. But the one thing I didn't like about this challenge is the way the teams were, Brian, you set up that it was two teams of seven. because of the, this is just like kind of more evidence that the Red Skull element should have been resolved by now, because when you get down to it, where only three women are eligible and you can't get voted in if you're in the tribunal. The only way this would have been interesting is if all three women were flopped onto the same team, because in this case, with Nani being the only one, I almost called her Nanny like the Brits, with Nani being the only one on her team, not like eligible for Red Skull. I guess the theory was if people are strategizing and sending people in with Red Skulls, since that's sort of not what's happening, Nani's sort of good either way. If she loses, she's the only person eligible for a house vote, you know, quote unquote eligible. And if she wins, she sends herself in.
Yep. And it's, and it was perfect Nani that she's like stressing out like, oh, I got to win. I got it. Like, she's, of course, she doesn't recognize that. That's perfect Nani. That's what we've seen from her. You know, anytime there's this type of like a strategic moment, she just doesn't understand like, oh, I'm good regardless. She, of course, she doesn't recognize that.
Yeah. Nani,
do we think if it was? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Nani just always likes being hype. I'm like, every moment she's like, wait, like, I just need to get hype. I'm just always hype.
I did love her saying that to Bananas, like, I just need everyone to cheer for me the entire time. Yeah. I mean, same. Like, can relate. Exactly. For sure. All right. Would you think production Brian's disappointed that they're not, you know, eating each other with Red Skulls? Like, you know, the only way for this to work would have been if people were willing to cut people out of the final and try to take out some of the power players like Jenny here, Dee. And with that not happening, kind of a bust.
Yeah, I can't imagine production's happy with a lot of the way this Red Skull's twist has gone. You know, a lot of episodes of not any type of like nomination decision making, not a lot going on outside of like one or two times trying to get someone out with a Red Skull. Yeah, I can't imagine production's really too happy with the kind of the decision making that these contestants have made, which adds to the theory that, you know, production really doesn't get involved in this type of stuff, because I think if they were, they would be more strongly encouraging people screwing each other over and getting Red Skull people out and stuff like that. So yeah, I can't imagine they're too happy with the way this has gone.
Go ahead.
I have a question that might just take us off a little bit, just for a quick moment. And I wonder, because this happened this season and last season as well, and with this new like twist trying to like, you know, have a game move and people are not actually playing in the same way like maybe production was imagining. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts around like, why do you think it's happening this way? Like, is it because of the relationships? Like, why aren't people more like, in a way, cutthroat on this level?
Go for it, Brian.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting with this new wave of players, you know, we even see Josh openly talking about it. I think people are so focused on playing the long game of being asked back, first of all, but then also building relationships going forward. And they are just so risk averse to screw one, two, three people over that's going to torpedo their game going forward. Because I think, you know, they see people who have made, you know, pseudo like sort of enemies for like some of the big guys. Like, you see, you know, we saw Corey in his early days really go after Bananas, and that kind of sunk his game for a few seasons because he just had a top enemy going after him all the time. So I think a lot of people are just getting gun shy of really making these big moves to screw people over and just having a target on their back from the get-go, because you're playing, you know, with 80-85% of the same people year and season after season. So I think people are just getting more and more gun shy with that type of stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wonder also if social media plays a role. Like, we saw people in the D debacle where Swaggy was calling D out for instigating fake fights and fake drama to be like a quote villain on the show. Like, I do wonder if anybody's like not interested in taking out someone that's then, and we had that, there was a lot of conversation around that on Survivor with season 40. Like, if you take out Sandra, like the wrath that you're going to face on social media. I think it's definitely primarily what Brian is saying. Yeah. I wonder if there's any, like, if I vote CT in, am I going to have like 50,000 people blow up my DMs and say that I'm like a piece of crap? Like, I probably wouldn't want that.
Yeah, right. I think that's totally fair as well.
Also, please feel free to take us off course. Like, the anxiety yes, I have with moving through the flow of things, we'll go off all over the place anytime.
Great.
I don't know if I'm curious because you know you were brought in on all these other MTV kind of like new age twists and stuff. So what we haven't necessarily been so hyped on kind of like the themes of all these challenges where they're really going crazy with like the explosives. Has that worked for you? Do you enjoy like the over the top theatrics that they do on some of these challenges?
No, I'm not. I don't, because they don't work, I don't understand them. I'm like, it doesn't work. I like it as a concept. I think it's pretty cool, but it's not working in the format of what the game is, right? Like the game is beyond just the season, right? It's all of these other factors. So that's so I don't get it why they keep doing it. I do, but I don't. So it hasn't really worked in that sense for me. But I like that. I like that it kind of gives this new players like something to like play with and something to kind of like mess around with and play to their favor as well. And we kind of saw that like last season and I don't know what the seasons are called. But last season as well, like people could play with some pieces of it. And I kind of like that as well.
Speaking of episode names or season names, is it ironic that Total Madness is not really that much madness?
No.
It's kind of like total straightforwardness.
Yeah, total exactly what you would expect. Let's talk, since there is no madness, let's talk about the decision between Mel and Bailey. Now, Nani says she wants to face Melissa. Seems weird to me to dig your heels in on the decision between Melissa and Bailey. Mophie, do you agree with Nani that she has a better chance against Melissa in an elimination?
Not necessarily. I mean, there seems to be a false, maybe because Bailey seems taller than Nani. I think she is. I don't think it was founded in anything that made sense. I think Melissa just seems smaller, so Nani was like, this might be easier for me. Yeah,
because that was frustrating to me, Brian, because like it seemed like such an arbitrary distinction. Like, sure, okay, if Bailey is bigger than her, but like Melissa has experience, Bailey has none in the challenge eliminations, and Bailey's checked out, quote unquote checked out, just like Jenna, the logic for putting Jenna in, Nani's own logic for putting Jenna in. So like, really, Casey's gonna like destroy a relationship with Bailey and Swaggy because Nani has sort of an unfounded preference for Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's not much of a difference between them two. It's not like you're going up against like Jen or something like that. That would have theoretically been like super easy win. So yeah, I mean, if on a certain challenge, probably Melissa would have been easier, but on plenty of other challenges, Bailey might have been easier. And like you said, with Swaggy gone and Bailey seemingly spiraling, like who knows how she would have handled the first time being in elimination with the pressure. It could have gotten to her. We see a lot of people struggle in that type of environment, especially for the first time. So yeah, to me, it was very much, you know, like it was all kind of the same thing. I couldn't distinguish them.
Yeah. I'm struggling now because I was going to ask Mophie a follow-up question and my brain is just a bowl of jello.
I was going to say that I didn't understand what you said, Ali, was right, that I didn't understand why Casey was so strong on that decision when it could have gone any other way. Like, it wasn't clear that Melissa, like, she was going to easily beat Melissa. So why were they so pressed on not picking Bailey? That doesn't make sense to me either, on a rational level.
Yeah, no, I wanted that more explained, especially later when Nani says, like, oh, I told her to make her own decision. Like, that's not what we saw. Yeah. But do you think, Mophie, there's anything that Bailey could have done to have turned the vote? We see her sort of, you know, go to sleep and not speak at the meeting. Probably what I would have done. But from a game perspective, is there anything that she could have done to sway the vote?
Honestly, I don't think so. I know that on the episode, someone was saying that Bailey just kind of like didn't fight. But I think she could tell that Casey was not going to change her mind and knew how all the other votes were going. And, you know, if she can't change the one person's mind, what's the point of just put it on an act? And as she said, she has only two emotions. So if she's not like sad and extra dramatic. Like she's gonna like be super upset, and she didn't want to do that in that moment. So in my opinion, I didn't think there was anything else that she could have done. But yeah.
Brian, how do you think Casey played the approach? Because I also think Casey's approach to Bailey was very, very strange.
Yeah, it wasn't great. You don't want to, when you know, like, Bailey's obviously clearly upset. Like, you went against her. She was really hurt by this issue. You don't want to start off that confrontation making her really defensive. She, like, went in immediately being, why are you lying about me? Why are you going after me? I think you have to at least... Casey has to at least go into that knowing Bailey's hurt and try to at least relate to her, and maybe just start out with like, I know like I hurt you, but like, this is my reasons. Her coming in immediately going after Bailey, that was absolutely the wrong approach. And there was no way, like, we've seen this from Bailey, you know, in her Big Brother season, the way, you know, she flipped off with Tyler during that whole kind of fiasco. Like, this is what Bailey, like, even her reputation coming into the season, everyone knows that, like, if you get Bailey going, she's going to pop off. So for Casey to not recognize that and try to come in kind of calmer and gentler was not the right approach.
I just still don't even get it from anyone's perspective. We talked about Nani's perspective. I think Bailey, while I would have done the same thing, I think Bailey probably made it too easy for Casey by getting upset. Yeah. Like she should have tried in an ideal world where, you know, you're totally emotions out of it. You know, I was the, you know, your friendship just meant so much to me. Like, I really expect, you know, like, I hope I have your vote, whatever. Like, just some guilt being applied, like, I think might have been effective at least at getting the house to be mad at Casey. Like, you know, like, so that nobody could say you didn't do anything. But I don't get it from Casey's perspective, most of all, because even if you didn't consider Bailey a friend, a good friend, or whatever level of friend, why would you like lose Bailey and Swaggy talking about future seasons? Now, I don't think Casey like really has that sort of strategy that she should be having. But to me, she just like nuked herself for literally no reason. Mel's not going to like when we get to the house vote. Mel's not going to think she owes Casey anything moving forward because Casey so clearly made this for Nani, not for Mel. Like, Casey voted for Mel so that Nani would beat her. Like, I don't think she's earned any sort of, like, equity with Mel. She's lost everything with Bailey and Swaggy, assuming they come back. And she gained nothing. Like, I don't even think... I think Casey also could have finessed the conversation with Nani and said, like, look, I have this Big Brother thing. Fessy's going to look at me weird. Bailey's going to look at me weird. Like, I know you could... Or even just, like, mind ninja her and say, like, I think you have a better shot against Bailey because of X, Y, and Z. Like, I just think everybody was wrong. And for the first time, alcohol wasn't even the enemy. It was just sort of emotions. I don't know. Am I making sense, Brian?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought that the last point, I thought that was the move that Casey should have made. Just try to convince Nani that, you know, Bailey would be as equal or in some situations a better situation. Person for her to go up against. I don't know why Casey was so willing to just be like, all right, this is who you want, this is what I'll do. And I think that kind of just goes to Casey's personality. She's not confident. Like, I know with Bailey she kind of was, but normally she doesn't seem like a confrontational person. So if Nani's coming and be like, this is who I want, it kind of fits with what I think Casey probably was doing in Big Brother, is just being like, all right, just going along with the flow, going along with the plan. This is what someone wants to do. I'm just going to do it. And she's not pushing back as much, where if she pushed back on Nani, Nani's probably easy to convince on this type of thing, especially coming from her quote unquote soulmate. So I think she probably would have been able to convince her that, you know what, let's go with Bailey.
Also, if you're worried about proving to your girlfriend back home that you're not in a relationship with Nani, maybe don't give her who she wants in the elimination in favor of your friend that you've known for a while.
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to like wrap my head around. And as you're saying, like, it's easier to try and convince Nani, somebody that you're maybe flirting with or whatever, than to have to like have this very difficult conversation with your friend. But Casey just seemed so smitten. Like, as I was watching her on TV, I was like, this woman is like so into Nani. Like, there's nothing else that's a priority at this point. Like, it's not even like it's game, but it's not game. It's like everything combined together. I just could not believe it. I was like, what's going on with you now? What's Casey? Yeah.
Big turnaround for Casey, who was completely invisible for the first half of the season, such that we have a drinking game rule. That's anytime Casey speaks, they should take a drink. That must have been going off this week, Brian.
Yeah, that's why we had to push this to Friday. I was too hungover from yesterday following it on doing the drinking game.
Oh, Brian, can you? PJ Gawhan wants to know, please compare and contrast, quote, vibe out and kicking it in terms of romantic and dating context.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what to go with that one. I think kicking it is probably more serious. I think vibing out is, I like that. That feels more like friendship-y, and kicking it feels more hookup-y.
Mophie, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think kicking it, there's like an acknowledgement, you know, like you, there's like, it's mutual in a way. Vibing could be like, it could be either or. But these are all terms that folks use to not be accountable to their behaviors. But yes, I like the range of terminology in between one thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Either way, it's something I don't want someone to say about me. either way, especially in Michelle or Bailey or Nani's shoes. The one thing, I felt bad for Bailey this whole episode, honestly. Like, it was, I felt really bad for her. I mean, Bananas even gets shockingly a sympathetic confessional saying that, you know, it's hard to be alone in the house. It's hard to be in the house even when you have friends. Where Bailey lost me is the romantic relationship side of it. Because whether or not, even if a romantic relationship did exist in the Big Brother house, Bailey sort of didn't need that element to pull on our heartstrings. Like, I think Bailey's friendship with Casey was sufficient for this to be a betrayal. When Bailey's saying, and we don't know the whole story, maybe I don't understand the whole story, but if Bailey is saying that Casey was her second choice to Swaggy, who she is with now, like, why would that, like, you know, Casey doesn't owe her to not like prioritize another romantic relationship when Casey's literally, when Bailey is married to someone else. So I just kind of thought that ended up putting her into a place where she was less sympathetic to the house, even though her position was just as a friend sympathetic enough, Brian, or was there something more I'm missing there?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. If anything, putting the romantic element makes it kind of easier to see something falling apart. Like, if it's, I feel like a lot more difficult for like more of a friendship to fall apart. But if you toss in the romantic element, that kind of makes it easier to see some type of falling out between them. If that part really was there and there's lingering feelings and lingering resentment for how things may have went. So I think if it was just a pure friendship, it'd almost be more likely to last.
It was,
yeah, that makes sense.
I found it interesting, though, that after the tribunal, when Bailey had said, you know, we had this thing, some of the people came back to her and said we didn't, or I think they were saying in confession, I forget which, but they were saying we did not know they had this relationship. So for a second, it seemed like he had like some credibility, or it made people start thinking about why Bailey was that upset differently. Or at least that was how I was reading it. Although I found it interesting that that was the focus as well, you know, that there was this whole we had a relationship. The reason or how I saw Bailey referring to it was that, you know, she was trying to equate it to how serious Casey is about her friendship or relationship or whatever with Nani. And she's saying, if this can be as serious to you, then you can still take what we had seriously. Or like, did that not mean anything to you? I don't know. That was kind of how I was seeing her interpret that and really refer to it as something that hurt her so much. Because it seemed that they had this deep relationship, that Casey is replicating right now. But it was hella weird because it's like, but Bailey, you're in a marriage and what's going on. But I kind of understood her hurt as well.
That, yeah, actually, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was going to say where Bailey lost me was when she turned it and blamed Nani. You know, it's not Nani's fault that, like, Nani's single. Nani's just, you know, building a friendship, building a relationship with Casey. Bailey's married. She shouldn't feel any resentment for Nani trying to cultivate something with Casey. If she wants to be mad at Casey for voting against her and turning on her, that's, you know, totally fair, 100%. But to blame Nani, like, that seemed to, like, just come just from her own personal maybe dislike of Nani and something else. But like that to me didn't feel right at all.
Yeah, that to me was our old friend misdirected anger. Just like, she's alone and Nani's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, poor Bailey having to go in and face the tribunal for no purpose other than to be confronted by seven people she's not close to in the house. But Mophie, that actually really, what you said really makes me think about the situation, that it's not so much like Bailey having like current romantic feelings, but it's like, I thought this was special and meaningful to you. Clearly, you just do it on every show, or like, you can replicate that so easily, and you're picking that person over me. Mm-hmm. And it's a form of rejection, even if she doesn't have a leg to stand on, which I get upset when I don't have a leg to stand on all the time. So yeah, that actually, that perspective as makes a lot more sense to me than when I was just watching it myself today. I did watch it today. Mophie shaded me for that, as is deserved. So that makes sense. The Nani thing I thought was just sort of Bailey in a tough spot. I thought this tribunal should have been canceled. This made zero sense to me and was not fun for me to watch.
It was so preposterous to see all seven people squeezed into like this little room. Like there's nowhere to breathe, and they're bringing even more people to talk to them about when it was completely useless. So, yeah, I mean, I think they should cancel all tribunals forever, but especially this one.
Mophie, did we get anything out of this tribune? Anything? Should we yada yada it? Is there anything worth talking about from this?
No, I don't even remember who was there, and I should actually, but yeah, no, it's not worth talking about.
No, I think that's totally legitimate. The other thing about Bailey's argument with the Casey thing, I think Casey also put herself into a corner where she's like, we were just friends on Big Brother. Like, it's not that deep. And Bailey then hits her with the, so are you and Nani, mm-hmm, which would suggest that maybe Casey reveal is not thinking of Nani as just a friend. I tried to do some digging to see if Casey and her girlfriend are still together. Not that that's any of my business, but I couldn't find anything yet. So I'll just keep inserting myself into other people's lives and we'll get back to you.
To be determined.
TBD on that. All right, so we're skipping the tribunal. That's really the justice we deserve after having sat through it ourselves. I'm like, anything else? Like, this whole episode really was just Casey and Nani and Bailey.
Yeah. I wanted to just talk a little bit.
I did enjoy it. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about, like, Bailey's, like, hysterics and, like, the music and when she was crying and, like, the tears even when she was sitting in the, like, nomination period, or, like, it was just hella. I was like, this is what I sign up to watch on reality TV. It's, like, the extraness that is a human being, because this is how I experience myself crying in my apartment, and I'm like, sad. you know when you're crying and you want an audience to even feel more sad? She really was giving me all of the life I needed.
No, that's real. And I think some people have been upset that, like, Bailey was such a character like that on Big Brother and like, wears that sort of energy. And it's been teased all season. People are like, oh, I don't want to disrespect Swaggy because then Bailey's going to come out. And, like, then Bailey comes out in full force, going in. I mean, even Bananas in the Night Out is like, what happened, Bailey? You didn't really burn the house down. I'm confused. But yeah, no, I can relate to that too. I have called someone and just had them listen to me cry while in quarantine. So that is absolutely my truth. Brian, if you want to cry, don't call me. I'm not here for you like that. Just to be clear.
I there's no way I ever would, because you would make fun of me for the rest of my life. So that is not going to happen.
Brian's wife started following me on Instagram, so I followed her back, and it's been hilarious to see Brian through the eyes of his wife on the Instagram story. It's like every week I was going to do a new post, but oh, I'm not going to do that to you, Brian. Just if something jumps out.
My worlds are colliding. I need to, like, separate them. I can't have my real life and my podcast life coming together. It's getting too much.
Yeah.
Well, Don't worry. We won't be in quarantine forever, hopefully.
But I know that he's had a really rough, up and down rough season. I want to give a little props to Nelson
for being
a nice support person for
it.
Bailey. You know, he's had a lot of problems talking to anyone with a pulse this season. So the fact that he was actually pretty nice to Bailey and calming and, you know, showed he was there for her. Nelson's he's learning throughout this whole season.
Honestly, like when I watched that, like I felt the same way. I'm like, Nelson, I've canceled Nelson so many times. Like every time he's on my TV, I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know why I have to keep watching Nelson. he just can't help himself. And seeing this interaction with Bailey, I was like, oh, this is hella sweet. Like, and you know, her finding solace in Nelson of all people, I'm like, I think the world is gonna be okay.
There you go.
I love that. Yeah, it was really nice. And we've seen now two episodes back to back where we see like good friend Nelson with Corey and now with Bailey. So see if he can keep that energy up. Something about Kayla doesn't work for him. But I was happy to see someone reach out to Bailey and Kyle too is definitely there. So that was definitely redeeming. We'll see. Maybe we're on the road to redemption with Nelson. I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Gotta
give credit. Words too. Go ahead, sorry.
I was gonna say you had bananas on the opposite end, encouraging Bailey to, you know, go to Casey's girlfriend and try to like sabotage the entire relationship. So, you know, we have the angel and the devil in the house at work at all times.
Yeah.
Absolute ass.
You need the range. You need the range sometimes. You need like people calming you down and you need people being like, you know what to do.
Exactly. You need that balance.
It's really crazy with the challenge because Bananas is a producer on the show essentially, and it's like wild to basically see what someone goes through in a confessional. Like I feel like that conversation at the bar with Bananas was like exactly a conversation a producer would have to try to get someone to like come back to the house and pop off. Like, I heard you didn't say anything. Like, what's going on? Like, I just like thought that was it's very like I almost when I was watching like Unreal on Lifetime, the show that like showed fake behind the scenes of The Bachelor. It's like very weird to watch that on a reality show. Someone who's basically a mole for production. Just like coming in and producing these moments.
Yep.
All right, let's get to Purgatory. They played me with the edit last week because last week, Mofi, I was like, oh, we're going to get a competition where people with skulls are going to wear those red, those jumpsuits with the red skulls and people without them are going to grab it. Like they kind of gave us a voiceover that was like, if you have your skull, you better not lose it. And then they showed this. And nope, it's just the regular Purgatory challenge. So I'm coming in hot, pissed about that because they got me. They got me, Brian.
Yeah, I mean if we discuss this limit, it was a weird challenge, right? I don't know. It was like a twist off the sort of when you hold the pole and sort of when you hold the ring and you have to rip it off, but they could each score a point in each round. I don't know. It felt like this wasn't a well thought out challenge with the way everyone can get a point on each round, and then it kind of was decided because Nani just happened to be out of bounds one round. This was not the most well done, well produced elimination in my mind.
Yeah,
what do you think of the movie?
It seemed pretty straightforward, and maybe like it worked for the people that were playing it. Watching Nani, I was like, okay, this seems like something that Nani can get hyped enough for. I'll be honest that I haven't been watching Chan for a long time, as you know, and I've never really seen Nani, like, really, really, really perform. So every time she's always, like, you know, hyped, I'm always like, okay, I'm waiting to see this. And maybe this was the one time that I was like, okay, I can see her, like, performing. And perhaps it was because of the style of the game. But there wasn't too much to it for me watching it.
We could say we could say as been watching Nani for a decade, we're still waiting for her to like bring it. So you're not alone.
Okay, I thought that was something I was missing.
Nope. Definitely not.
No, Mike Christensen said sort of the same thing. He said, has the challenge passed Nani by? We've gotten to a point where it's hyper-competitive and you basically need to be a professional athlete to stand a chance. Nani came of age where so many more people were cast for drama than talent and doesn't seem to have kept up athletically the way some older competitors have. So I guess that's just going into exactly what you're saying. I think a lot of people feel that way about Nani. What I would hate to lose about Nani is the messiness, like is the stuff with Casey, is the overdoing the drama with the Jenna stuff and the Kayla stuff and the anxiety of it all. So like, I'm not saying I'm desperate to have Nani on next season, but I don't want it to just be, you know, mega athletes who are all have spouses who just come to do sports. Even though I like that part of it, I want to have some Nani level drama.
Exactly. And that's what I liked about this type of challenge. I was like, okay, this is doable. Like even me sitting in my apartment, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and maybe I'm not like the target audience to be playing this game. But I think it makes it feel relatable on some level, in addition to like the killer things that you're like, yep, I would definitely not do well in this.
Yeah, this seemed like more of a return to like an approachable challenge. Like you're not swinging, hitting buttons like the swinging arcade from last week. I have a conspiracy theory though, Brian.
I got my tinfoil hat.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. You should always have that on. You never know.
I got it. Yep.
We saw Bananas at the bar or in the house or whatever telling Nani that like, oh, just remember like when I tried to grab a beer bottle from you and you held on to it, like just picture like holding that beer bottle. Now, I'm not saying that Bananas knew what the challenge was going to be, but wow. I'm also not saying that, like, that was totally relevant advice to what the challenge ended up being.
Yeah, sort of. I'm going to go with it was kind of just a metaphor for your fierceness. But yeah, I mean, I think it does kind of, it was pretty similar, I guess. Yeah, there's some connection.
I love it so much.
Am I crazy, Mophie?
I love it. I would never, like, I didn't think about that. But when he said that, I was like, this is such an odd reference. I'm sure there's a reason. And we found it. Like, it was strategic. I agree.
I need those answers. I need to know if Bananas is just so good at knowing that, like, towards the end, you're going to get this, like, physical who wants it more elimination, or if Bananas is a showrunner and designed this challenge. Like, where are we at on that scale? I'm so bad at three-person podcasts also. I've been stepping on both of you all night, so just tell me to shut up, because I'm, like, I get anxiety in the blank spaces, and I'm always just, like, popping in. So bob me down.
We're doing great. We're doing great. As I talk over you, we're doing great.
This is good.
I'm like Nani. I need the support the whole way through.
We're cheering you. Just pretend we're holding a white claw.
What you said, Brian, about the way it worked, that both of them could get a skull and run back. Why was this not the first person back gets it? I did not understand that sort of metric of the challenge, or that element of the challenge.
Yeah, totally. That's what I thought it would be. I mean, that's usually what they do in these type of things, where you could, if you either you take a ball from someone, take a ring from someone, it's always getting back to your side of the pit or whatever. So that was the part to me that didn't make sense. You shouldn't each be able to get a point. You could each rip the ball off, but it should be then whoever gets to their side first gets the point. That to me didn't make any sense and went kind of against what these eliminations usually do.
Yeah, me too. I thought the same. I was like, this does not make sense to me.
And for a challenge that I feel like clarifies the rules so many times, where we have people giving confessionals just restating the rules, I feel like that was not immediately clear to me from this one, but
nope.
All right. Nani goes down. Who are you guys rooting for on three? I'm going to make you, we'll all say it at the same time. See where we were at. So you're going to say on three who you were rooting for, putting you on the spot. One, two, three. Mel.
Nah.
No one said it.
No one said it. I said
Nani. I said Mel.
Mophie, who'd you say?
Mel.
Brian, what's wrong with you that you were rooting for Nani in this?
Nani's my favorite. I love her. I want to see her succeed. I know it's never going to happen, so I want to cheer for
her.
Nani's
your favorite?
One of my favorites. She's great.
He really likes Nani.
I got to support her.
Nani's your favorite. I'm shook by this. I've been doing this with you for 6 years. Nani's your favorite?
Well, she's in the mix. She's in the mix for my favorite. I just love that she's the same person every season. There's just something just so pure about it that other we see people evolve and change. And Nani comes in with the same speech in episode one about how she's here for different reasons this time. She's not going to get involved in drama. She's here to win. And she does the same thing every single season. So I just love that consistency.
All right. Yeah. Why were you rooting for Mel? Let's go to the sane people in the podcast.
I was just waiting for Bailey to get her like revenge and also for like, you know, Case's plan to not like go well. So anything for that was my choice. I like Nani as well. Like if it was not because of Bailey, I would have been rooting for Nani because I kind of agree with the sentiment, but just for the pure purpose of revenge, I was like, sorry, Nani's got to go.
Yeah, I love a spite victory. I was here for that. Addison Muller says, I just want to give props to whoever edited the Wikipedia page for this season to list that the winner of this purgatory was Melissa and Vienna, who's Melissa's daughter, because that got a great chuckle. I have not verified it, but that is hilarious to me. It is crazy to think that Melissa has been pregnant this whole season and Vienna won her first elimination.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing.
She almost has as many wins as Nani.
Oh, God, the shade.
Wow.
On that note, let's take it to our nonsense. I promised last week that I would call the names of the 5-star reviewers. I didn't do that. I didn't keep my promise once again. So maybe next week. But nonetheless, we appreciate it 100%. I'm always reading them. It's just like to go back. I will, though. If you want to let us know how you felt about this episode, this whole season, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. On to the drinking game, Brian.
Let's do it. Thank you to Kyle Picard for sending it over. He didn't give a total. Oh, he's six plus any times. He didn't include the amount of times Casey spoke because that would have been a lot. So other than that, there were 6 drinks. One for sending yourself into elimination. He put 1,000 for Casey speaking, so take that for what it's worth. 2 times mentioning of My Final by TJ. And 1 time knowing the song, The Cranberries. And 1 British slang. Jenny said something about there's too many cooks to spoil the broth. I feel like that's kind of an English thing. I mean, I guess maybe Rob Roth, but I don't know.
We don't argue with the keeper of the game, Brian.
No, we don't. But yes. So six plus and however many times you want to count for Casey speaking.
We doing new rules? What's up?
Yeah, let's go. Let's say Allie. What do you got for a new rule?
I don't have a lot. I'm gonna do a tribute to Bailey, and we'll say anytime you can see tears, so not just someone cries, but you see the tears, that's how you really know you're in your feelings, and we'll do that one.
What about you, Mophie?
I would say also a Bailey tribute. I would say maybe like whenever she refers to Swaggy not being there. I don't know if that's on there already, but a drink for that.
That's perfect.
No, that's great.
I think we're going to get that great. A lot. It's a dangerous one.
So I'm going to do, this is kind of leading up to the final. Anytime, I know we hate seeing these, but anytime there is vomit going on, any type of big endurance challenge, anyone starts throwing up, count that out with a drink.
Start with one for me if you're just saying vomit. What's going to happen next week, guys? Like, what are we going into? Like, is there just going to be another men than a woman's elimination and everyone's going to get a shot? What's up?
Isn't it a double elimination, they said?
Oh, they said it. Okay, I missed that. Good. This is why I need the help. All right, so what happened on the...
Yeah, they did. They teased a double. They didn't indicate if it's 2 guys. I think they indicated. I think based off the way it was shown, I think it's gonna be a guy and a girl. So I think I would hope this would be it after this one. It's all hands on deck. But they didn't really give any sort of real indication if it's double guys or a guy and a girl. But yeah, 2 double elimination next week.
So everyone, after all of this, everyone is going to have gotten a chance. There were enough eliminations for every single person to go in if they wanted to.
Yep.
That's why the thing doesn't work, because as you said, bananas is a plant. I didn't say that. Don't add her, but I'm just saying that they know these things. They know it doesn't work out, because I don't get it.
I'm honestly disappointed that we didn't think of this when we talked about this earlier, because like, of course, like we did talk about like the math might not work out. Like they could end up with like one woman and 1,000 men, like, you know, if they just like really leave it to chance and at the end lop people off or whatever. But like, of course they had more than enough eliminations because Jay went in multiple times and D went in multiple times. So like, of course it would work out such that everybody gets more than enough chances to go in. I guess the whole purpose of the Red Skull is to rebel against what happened last season, where like nobody wanted to go in and Jordan and Tori and everyone else just kept going in. So like maybe it was literally just to like make more people go into eliminations, but to design an entire season that flips all of the strategy around and makes it less interesting just for that. I mean, I'd rather see, it was more interesting to watch Tori go in 800 times than it was to watch people just self-select and nominate themselves.
Yeah. Totally.
Sorry,
no.
I'm pissed off because I'm just learning this for the first time. So I'm coming. You guys have already sat with this for like 5 days. I'm coming in like just learning this information.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what kind of format if they carry this over till next season, if they do a twist on. I know a lot of people wanted them to bring back the relic to this type of format where you can't go in back to back weeks. So I don't know. I don't know how well they're receiving this internally and what if they're going to bring this over again to another season or just scrap it completely. I don't know. I'll be curious to see what they choose to do going forward.
All right, let's get to the social media.
Yes.
I've just been through a lot in that last 2 seconds. All right. Let's talk about Mel for a second. First, she tweeted Vienna winning her first elimination, smile emoji, hearts around emoji. I love that she's in on the gag. She posted on Instagram, and thanks as always to Megan Elizabeth for pulling this for us. Mel said, I'm getting tons of messages about tonight's elimination and my pregnancy. I've repeated myself at least a million times now. So here are the answers again. Yes, I was pregnant during this elimination. And no, I did not know I was pregnant. I'm fully aware that competing in a physical elimination whilst pregnant is not safe, but I don't know. I didn't know I was there pregnant, and I'm lucky that everything turned out okay for me and my baby is fit and healthy. So I got my Red Skull and I'm officially qualified for the final. Smile emoji. I like that end. Like, my baby's healthy and I'm qualified for the final.
Win, win. Like, the baby is here. Yes.
Let's get into the Bailey stuff that took up most of the social media, as it took up most of the episodes. Makes sense. Bailey said, just for the record, I never called nor said anything to Taylor being Casey's girlfriend. I was hurt, so I said I would in the episode. Never did. If their relationship is ending, which I doubt it is, it had nothing to do with me. I came home to my husband and minded my damn business. And then she said, this is actually energy I can relate to. Billy said, for those who are saying you're such a spoiled brat, like it's an insult, laugh cry emoji, skull emoji. Y'all know, I know I'm spoiled. I've been this way since birth. I don't think I'm tough. I know I am. Wink, smile emoji. And some of y'all really just hating because I have everything y'all want. No more apologies. Shrug emoji.
Wow. There we go. Wow.
Owning it.
This should be me, like, whenever,
Brad, I know it.
Yeah, like if my mom is ever like, Mophie, you're spoiled, I'm like, yes, cue response.
I'll send you the screen cap so you could just like put it up.
Exactly.
Some background for Bailey from Swaggy. Swaggy tweeted, Julie Chen, quote, America, the vote is 4-4. Bailey is the deciding vote on who wins $500,000. Casey or Tyler, and Bailey votes for ... All she wanted was the favor returned back to her when she needed it, especially from a friend. That's where the heartbreak comes from. I think a little revisionist history. Bailey wasn't like saying that in the moment. I also think, unfortunately, you don't get favors returned like that to you in reality shows. But again, I'm on team Bailey when it comes to like, what the hell was Casey really thinking? Mophy, do you think, knowing that information, that Bailey did cast a deciding vote for Casey, does that sort of change your perspective at all?
I mean, it plays a role in why, like, you know, Casey should have at least thought about it more to throw Bailey a bone. It's not the same, even on the same weight, because this is not, like, giving her the opportunity to win, per se. Yeah, those are my thoughts. I mean, Casey doesn't owe Bailey anything, but it would have been nice.
Let's get Fessy's perspective. I guess I didn't check in on this. Fessy said, Fessy's getting some heat.
Oh.
He said, Twitter be messy AF. Bay knows I talked to her before nominations and told her I think Casey should give her the vote. I didn't speak up because no one did. They were airing their feelings out. That was not my place to talk. I don't control what confessionals MTV shows, so .. Miss me with that shit. I said my opinion on what I thought their friendship was on BB. I thought it was platonic. That's my opinion. I'm the realest MF to ever bless y'all's TV screens, so GTFO my face with that fake shit. They both my friends.
Yeah, I don't think you can get mad at Fessy for not speaking up when Bailey didn't speak up. It's not like Fessy didn't speak up to defend Bailey. Bailey didn't speak up for her own self. So I don't see how you could be mad at Fessy for not speaking up at the nomination ceremony.
I mean, it's like when Bear defends Kayla, like sometimes it is nice to have like an ally in the house, like a friend to speak up for you. But I don't think Fessy should really take shit. I think the confessional where he's like, I was there and they weren't in a relationship. I mean, even the defenders of Bailey aren't saying like they were in a deep relationship. I don't even think Bailey's. I think that kind of got twisted, too. When Bailey's saying like we slept together, mm-hmm. meaning I slept in her bed. Right. And then Casey's like, we slept together. Like, I feel like there was a little bit of a disconnect.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, for me, it was a little bit like gaslighty. I was like, you know, she's not meaning that. But then you're just going to go to this extreme end to make her look like extra ridiculous. And that was a little bit odd. But to Fessy's point, I think Fessy, like, his explanation was what made it clear. You know, like, it's like, here was the situation. These people were friends, and there's a relationship there, obviously. But it wasn't this other thing. And it's hard for him. I can see why it was hard for him to also, like, put himself in that situation. Because you know some arguments when you're like, this is so, like, deep. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it be as well. So that I could see that playing out in that sense.
Yeah. No, I definitely didn't. My perception watching the show wasn't like, oh my God, where's Fessy? Like, Fessy voted for her. Fessy said why. Like, we have Big Brother lines. Like, I'm voting for her. And Casey made her own decision.
Yep.
All right, guys. The big news at this hour is that Swaggy posted an Instagram where he announced he is retiring from reality television. Now, one of my personal biggest pet peeves is when people retire from the challenge only to show up a few seasons later. That said, I'm more sympathetic to Swaggy retiring than some of our previous notable retirees, Camilla, Nani, the list goes on. But Swaggy and Bailey, we talked about this last week, have been taking like a ton of shit online, like well disproportionate to other couples from Big Brother, to other people from the challenge, and generally they brought a lot to the show, so it's kind of confusing. Swaggy, I wrote a very long statement. The gist of it is basically like, I'll read the beginning. Us Weekly posted an article about me from a podcast I did stating that I won't be doing, I think that was Challenge Mania, stating that I won't be doing BB 22 or the Challenge 36. That is absolutely correct. I don't have time for this reality TV lifestyle anymore. It does not mean that I'm better than anybody. I just know exactly what I want to be in my life, what I want in my life before I turn 30, and my energy can't be wasted on negativity and drama. I'm actually going to read this because this blew my mind. I'm only 25. My head exploded that Swaggy is 25. I'm only 25, 4 months in. I'm young as hell. Yes, you are. Very, very young. Don't get me wrong. Being on reality TV is a fun thing, but a thing I feel like I've outgrown. And he talks about being grateful for producers and the TV networks, and just that this is, he's out. So you can check out his Instagram, SwaggyCTV, for the rest of the statement. Mophie, do you think that this is long term? Are we really done with Swaggy? And then follow up question, what does this mean for Bailey on the challenge?
Well, I would hope not. I would hope that we see Swaggy again in the future because, you know, he's a great reality TV persona. I think him and Bailey as a dynamic are quite good. But to answer your second question as well, I think Bailey is a standout. I think Bailey can go on reality TV with or without Swaggy, and maybe in a way that's what her journey looks like. So I'm not too. I hope like she continues on, and I think I had seen a tweet somewhere either or somewhere from him or from one of the people saying that this doesn't impact Bailey's decision. So I think there's still space for Bailey to continue on because she's the star. Like. Even when they started this thing, they're like, we're not going to put Swaggy in because of Bailey. So I think it's time for her own domination.
Ryan, what's your take on Swaggy's announcement?
I don't really ever believe reality TV retirements because, like you said, they're not a thing. You know, you're not retiring. You're not, you know, taking out your 401k. You're not retired. You can come back literally at any time. So I would not be surprised to see Swaggy pop up on reality TV. I definitely hope it doesn't mean the end of Bailey because I totally agree. I think Bailey could be a lot of fun without Swaggy. I would love to see her come back on her own and do her thing. So I, the very least, I definitely hope it's not the end for Bailey. And I would not be surprised if in a couple seasons from now, Swag is like, you know what? I'm coming here. Bailey, you know, the people have coming after her the last couple seasons. I'm coming in to defend her honor. I'm coming in to rejoin. Like, I would not be surprised to see that play out at all. So hopefully not the end for Bailey. Probably not the end for Swaggy.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, like, for me, like, it's sad that this has to happen, like, me watching it, because I would like to see him more on reality TV for who he is. And it just really shows how, you know, reality TV can be toxic, but even particularly for certain folks and particularly for Black people. And seeing the amount of hate, I used to be on the Survivor subreddit for a little bit. And just seeing the way that conversations happen about Swaggy and Bailey and Swaley, I guess, as they're referred to, as the youth call them, you know, it's just so toxic. I can understand that, you know, his confidence and his corniness might be off-putting, but just the depth of it, I never, like, understood it. And that was something I always, like, questioned. And I've seen clips of them on Big Brother. I've watched the engagement, all of those things. And yes, you don't have to be about it, but the way folks really despise them, and I watched that clip from some podcast that they were talking about them, you know, and it's quite uncomfortable and it's not safe. So I can understand why, you know, this is a young man that his dream is probably to be on reality TV. And as you say, maybe not, but you know, it's a great opportunity and he has to leave because it's quite toxic for him to be there. And that's what sucks. Yeah. So it's, and I see, like, there's a lot of conversations about that right now, but even particularly in the challenge/MTV world, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And people linked me to some Reddit posts. Yeah, I'm more of a boomer when it comes to Reddit. I don't know what I'm doing on Reddit, but about their Big Brother stuff. And it's definitely hard to read. And that's why, like I say, if Swaggy does come out of retirement, I'm not going to be roasting him because I don't blame him one bit for walking away from it. And it is a shame. We're losing out for sure. And I hope that Wes is somebody who's able to maybe be sort of, it's very weird to say Wes is someone who could be a good mentor to Swaggy because Wes shouldn't be mentoring anyone. But someone who can maybe help Swaggy through it and bring him back to the show at some point, if that's what Swaggy decides is right for him. And I think we'd all be on board for it, which is crazy because I'm always reluctant to new people coming on. I'm sort of that old curmudgeon who's like, what are Big Brother people doing on this? And then I'm like, oh my God, I can't love that they're on this. They're so great. So I definitely was slow to warm up to them coming on. But Now I'm definitely disappointed to hear that Swaggy won't be back, though I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And then what I enjoy about Swaggy is, you know, we always talk about, we like the fact that there's such a wide variety of like types of people. You know, we don't like, Swaggy's not the big macho guy like a Fessy or something like that. He just brings something else to the table. And I think that's what's sometimes so great about the challenges. You have all these different types of personalities, types of competitors, types of people. So to lose someone like Swaggy, who actually I really enjoyed this version of Swaggy as opposed to the one on Big Brother, where he was kind of more of a caricature of himself, a lot more over the top. I thought this was a lot more. It seemed a lot more, for me, a more enjoyable version of him. So to lose that after just one season, hopefully if he gets away from a little bit, maybe things calm down for him and he's able to come back, because I really enjoyed him this season.
So with that, I think that's all I have. Definitely all I have from social media. Mofi, it's been so great having you. We already can't wait to have you back. If you'll have us, if you're interested.
Yeah, for sure.
Where can people find you? I know you podcast, you're out there. Where can people find more from you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Miss Badmos, so that's MSBADMOS. And you can also find my podcast. It's called Our Favorite Things Podcast, favorite with a U, as I am in Canada. So you can find my podcast wherever you listen to podcasts as well.
Is this our first international guest?
Really? I'm
have we ever,
I think so. Be. I'm trying to think. Has Haley Strong been on the podcast?
I think I did one with Haley. I think so.
All right. Second international guest.
I'll take it.
But that's okay.
All right, Brian, bring us home, man.
That's it. You can subscribe to our podcast here, robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can find me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _. They can follow you, Allie.
At Lash Tweets.
That's it for this one, episode 13. Mofi, thank you so much once again. This really was a lot of fun. We'll be back next week, episode 14. Until then, have a good one.